An aggressive policing program in Boston is being credited for significantly reducing the city's juvenile homicide rate, but critics say it may be violating offenders' rights to privacy. The program, called Operation Nightlight, sends police out with probation officers to check up on young offenders who are under court-imposed curfews or other restrictions. Civil libertarians say the police may be using the program as an excuse to get inside a house where they would otherwise need a warrant. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
It's about 9:30 on a weeknight, and two detectives from Boston's anti-gang unit are driving an unmarked car through the inner city. In the back seat, a probation officer, Tim Norris, rummages through a stack of manila folders, each one stuffed with the criminal records of a young offender who's done time for armed robbery, drugs, illegal weapons, or stolen cars. Now that they're on probation, the offenders are bound by court-imposed conditions that range from showing up at school to staying away from certain neighborhoods or kids or getting home before a curfew. And they're conditions that Operation Nightlight is determined to enforce.
It's probation. How you doing? He's not.
Mm-mm.
Okay. He just has a curfew, 9 o'clock curfew. That's what I'm checking up on. Yeah, he knows it. Where could he be right now?
Just
make sure he gets
Common
home.
Common Square.
Norris leaves his card and an order to call. Then, back in the car, Norris and the police cruise the streets, shining bright flashlights into dark parking lots and street corners, looking for kids in places they shouldn't be.
Tito, that kid could be up here to the right. They usually hang right up here.
The car swings down a one-way street.
Is he there? Yeah, do it right.
Suddenly, they slow down, a half a block away from the group of kids.
He's there.
Talk to him?
Yep.
What's up, Jess?
What's up?
Woo! I'm smelling sweet.
Les over here.
Oh,
hey, dog.
I don't smoke cigarettes.
That smell like cigarettes?
Hanging over the boys is the thick scent of marijuana. The cops pat the boys down and take away a knife. Norris starts in with the one that's on probation.
What'd I tell you? What I tell you before?
Tell me he's gonna creep up on me, yo, for real.
I tell you, I'm a creeper.
He said that, yo. He said he'd be creeping, yo.
One by one, the boys begin to get the message and back away from the police.
All right, I'm going.
See you later, man, all right?
Everyone's leaving, right?
Back in the police car, Norris grins. That's about a dozen more kids, he says, who know now that probation is no longer the easy walk that it used to be.
I think he was a little surprised to see me, because I actually saw him later this afternoon. He came into the courthouse, and I actually had a visit with him. So he's probably walking out thinking, oh, I'm not going to have to deal with him for a while. It was ironic. He was a little surprised to see me. I could tell that.
That's because before Operation Nightlight, probationers would not have seen an officer like Norris out at night, nor would they have seen him with police. Kids knew they didn't have to take probation seriously, Norris says, because probation officers only worked 9 to 5, and they only worked behind their desks.
You know, they just stay in the courthouse, and the probationers would report down there and say, okay, how's everything going? You staying out of trouble? Oh, yes, you know. Doesn't take too much to throw on a white T-shirt and come down there and say, I'm doing great. You know, this allows us the opportunity to see how they react when I go out in their own environment.
In that environment, probation officers have wide latitude. While police officers need a warrant to go into a private home, probation officers do not.
While we're here, why don't we go in and take a look at your house and your room?
Oh, sure.
Okay, good.
On another night, probation officer Pamela Pierce and two police officers walk into a teenager's bedroom.
We're probation, sir.
There's probation officers coming by
to see you. What do I smell? Michelle, what do I smell?
Pierce says she smells marijuana and begins looking under the boy's mattress while one police officer opens the door to his closet and another is shining his flashlight over the bookshelves and dresser. It's the kind of intrusion that some critics say crosses the line.
When a person's on probation or parole, the courts have recognized that they have a reduced expectation of privacy. But that does not mean that state and state officers have an unrestricted right to simply barge in at any time and conduct a search of the person's home, effects, or person.
John Reinstein is an attorney with the Massachusetts Civil Liberties Union.
The police know who these people are. They know what's going on, and they just want to poke around. Well, there's a temptation, certainly, to take the shortcut, and I think that's a temptation we have to resist.
Police officials insist they are within their rights. They say they go out with probation officers, who are unarmed, to ensure their safety during home visits. Lieutenant Gary French oversees the Operation Nightlight program.
We don't look at that as an investigative tool, so to speak. You know, we walk into the house with the sole purpose of doing a nightlight visit and checking on the probationer. If other stuff is there, then we have to act. But under no sense of the word do we use that as a rouse or anything like that to get into a house to go through someone's house to find contraband.
French points to the program's success. Since its inception several years ago, police have nearly tripled the number of offenders imprisoned for violating probation. And while the relationship is difficult to prove, Boston's homicide rate for juveniles is down from an average of 10 a year to zero to date. The parents of young offenders, in many cases, are more appreciative of the home visits than anyone. This woman, who asked that her name not be used, says the probation officers can get through to her son in a way that she cannot.
Sometimes the mother do what they can do, but you know how kids they are. So they give us a good help, big help. And I'm glad they come. All the time they want to come, I open the door. Believe me, he listens to them more than he listens to me. So I appreciate it, you know.
You're not going to school, how come?
Talk to my friends, you know.
Well, let me tell you this first. You don't start doing what you need to do, you're going to end up getting locked up. Have you ever been held?
Been locked up for a couple of hours. A
couple hours, that's it? Maybe you need a little bit more. We're not here to take you in tonight, but look at me. We will if we need to.
As if to underscore the point, two police officers with handcuffs hanging from their belts glare down at the truant teenager who sits bare-chested in his pajama bottoms on his bed. The message is one of tough love, with an emphasis on tough. David Kennedy from Harvard's Kennedy School of Government calls it a sensible middle ground between the liberal social work approach to fighting crime and the right-wing lock-em-up-and-throw-away-the-key philosophy.
I mean, on the one hand, you have this choice of eradicating racism, fixing the economy, fixing poor neighborhoods, fixing single-parent families. On the other hand, you say, well, fine, let's take every gang member in the city off the street and put him in federal prison. We don't really know how to do the first. We don't want to do the second. There's got to be something in between. And it turns out that there is.
Indeed, several judges in Boston say since Operation Nightlight, they're more willing to sentence young offenders to probation now that they know it's a serious sanction that will be enforced. But they say when an offender violates his curfew or other conditions of probation, they're also more willing to send him to prison now that they know he had ample warning and ample opportunity to do the right thing. In Boston, this is Tovia Smith reporting.